Welcome to What's Left, a weekly political discussion challenging the mainstream left. I'm Eduardo Barca with Andy Lipson and Kenny Cepeda. On today's show, we will be discussing the coronavirus and the global response to it. We are going to improvise this somewhat because I know that Andy had some... Well, you had brought it up as a topic to talk about and maybe that we need to discuss as it's unfolding more and more alerts and there are closing borders, schools are shutting down.
Yes.
The governor is making more than 200 people here, at least in California, not gather. It's prohibited. So there's a lot going on. And not just China, it's also Italy that has been now in a lockdown.
Yeah, and it's spread more in Seattle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On the West Coast more than the East Coast.
Yeah.
And now they're even, I think it's even heightened with this public figures now, like Tom Hanks, people within Trump's administration, Ted Cruz himself, Republican, Trudeau's wife just today has been declared. And
yeah, so I wasn't worried until I heard Tom Hanks got it.
Exactly. Now important,
an NBA player.
Oh, yeah, the French dude. The touch all the microphones to make a joke.
And I was supposed to go to Paris this month. So
I was supposed to go to Italy myself.
Yeah, is that going to happen?
No. I mean, the Italy is quarantined, the whole country.
Yeah.
It started with a section now. I don't even know if I'll get a refund. That's the thing.
You bought tickets.
Yeah, no, I had airplane tickets. I was going April 12th. You guys have been ignoring my sharing on
no,
that.
No,
no. No, I did.
I thought you were planning to.
No,
we actually bought tickets.
We had tickets to go. Then the virus, you know, started to spread, or at least the news started to spread more, or the awareness of it. And then we decided to hold off on buying, renting rooms.
Lodgement.
Airbnb and all that.
Mm-hmm. But which I don't recommend the Airbnb, but
okay.
Still.
Right.
No, but I know what you mean, lodgement, no?
Okay, yeah, Airbnb.
No, but I think the reason I had hoped to talk about it is there have been developments, and I know I definitely have expressed we talked about the origins of the coronavirus and what it means to be a retrovirus, and then some of the statistics we were hearing. Comparing it to the flu and how it's like, wait, it's not adding up. At least it didn't add up to me, the level of the fear that was being raised around it compared to the level of the number of deaths and even the number of cases and its mortality rate and such and such. But obviously, since then, much more has happened around both the economy, around the kinds of restrictions that are being put on, and it has spread. You know, so I think it's worth revisiting. Like, okay, what do you say now? Kind of thing. That's my feeling, at least.
Go ahead, Ken.
No, I mean, I think even now, like, yes, it has spread, and, you know, that was always a possibility. But even now, there are questions because there are different, you know, approaches, right? There's not one concerted approach around the world in governments. Even, like, within California, the city of San Francisco has a different approach than the state and the federal government. And, so that's, or Germany, you know, Merkel coming out and saying that up to 60 to 70% of the population will get it, you know, and, you know, where like in China, according to China, they've contained it to within, you know, a few hundred thousand, right? Or something like that.
Well, yeah, it's still not 100.
Yeah.
It's about 125,000 cases globally. And China seems to be it's gone through the inflection point of exponential growth.
Yeah.
And it's kind of leveling off, at least the number of cases in China. That's what I know of.
Yeah.
And now we're talking about, say, exponential growth in places like Italy, and maybe like in places like Seattle. And then there's the nervousness, I think, of the presence of it anywhere seems to set off a chain reaction of, I would say there's still, for me, still a level of paranoia in relationship to the actual destruction and that it's actually taking on the human population compared to, again, other diseases that are out there or other things that are viral infections. So I still have questions about it, but there's no doubt something's taking place. And Italy's medical system is being taxed by this, and that, you know, they're having to plea for European Union to come and get them more respirators, mm-hmm. and apparently the only place sending them respirators is China, you know. But that there's also the political response to it. So, you know, I think there's a whole number of things to talk about, like to what extent is the reporting of this actually reporting things that are helping people understand what's really taking place medically and virally and mm-hmm. as a disease? To what extent are the things that are being reported in helping the state push forward policies that foment fear that allows them to get away with a lot of mischief yeah. in relation to that? Those are still, for me, the questions. And I, on balance, think much more that second thing is still going on around the globe. Even though it places like Italy are actually under, you know, like you can hear how taxed their, I mean, I'm hearing reports of how taxed their healthcare system is and hospitals are. Of course, Italy has a much larger elderly population, and it's apparent that it's hit hard there. So the mortality rate doesn't seem to be higher, but there's a lot more people dying in Italy than other places where it's present.
I have a question for you both. Do you feel as if there is an overreaction to the COVID-19? Is that what?
From who?
Well,
I would say that I think the average person is being made to be much more fearful of this than the level of physical threat it represents to them, particularly even among the younger and younger and healthy. I mean, we're hearing so many cases of just like people get it, it comes in, it goes out, and they recover. I mean, that's the general profile that the health that's generally what happens for people who've gotten this thing.
And also, like, I think another mischaracterization of this is the fact that a lot of these closing of borders and, you know, quarantining people, at least here, the fact is that the virus is already here. The virus, as I understand, you know, it doesn't take, like, a lot of people have it, it doesn't manifest itself until a couple of weeks, so they can still spread the virus. So the virus is here. So then it becomes about, you know, the ability to respond, you know, to whatever crisis, you know, I know in the US we have a, if you know, if we were if it was to attack the whole population, we don't have enough respirators. And then we're talking about testing, you know, and access to testing and, you know, stories of $3,000, $10,000 for a test. So, it, you know, still comes back to the response, because I don't think this will be the last time we go through something like this, like moving on. So I do think, because, I mean, I didn't know about the scientific aspect until we had our conversation. The news, everything they focus on is the death, 2 deaths, 3 deaths. Like this count, you know, this, you know, fascination on the death, you know, and they don't talk about, you know, it took a while, at least that's how I've experienced it. It took a while for them to talk about precautions and this and that. It was about sensationalizing the news. And I do think that to a degree, it has hurt, because a lot of people didn't trust the people that I talked to, professionals, even nurses. I know a couple of nurses, they are frustrated with the government response to this. Like they don't have the tools to address a possible, you know, mm-hmm. breakout of, you know, the way they're painting it. And so I don't know. There are all the things in the background. So I do find it suspicious. I'm not saying this
What's
is not
suspicious?
Happening.
What?
Again, the degree to which it's getting played out, you know, in the news and sensationalized, and the pain that it's causing, it reminded me a little bit of the Iran, you know, threat of war, right? That I remember you mentioned, Lipson, that, you know, it hurt people. You know, it creates anxiety on people.
Oh, you mean when they bombed Soleimani, yeah. And then everyone was frightened of World War III?
Yeah, exactly. And so it reminds me of that, because I know of some friends' families, a lot of older people who have broken down emotionally because of the constant bombardment, you know, of you know, death. So the approach is, I think, is different. It has I think there is a profit motive behind it. the approach to
a profit the, motive behind
to release news to I don't want to say educate to share information that's useful. So and again, I think it's the forces of capitalism pushing, you know, hysteria. You know, there is a runoff on a lot of stores, toilet papers, you know,
hand sanitizer.
Yeah. And ultimately becomes about access to whoever has the most money. It's going to highlight against the inequities that are built into this system.
Yeah, I'm wondering that I don't know how any other way there should be a delivery of this information. I feel that the extent of trying to cover this in the news is good. I don't know.
You would say the way the mainstream media is covering it.
Not the way. I think that you have to try to inform the public. I'm just talking about the way that they are delivering, the way it's framed, is I have a problem with it. I feel as if this economy, this capitalist economy, is too fragile. And yes, this is actually why we shouldn't be under capitalism. Because this system, any virus, anything sickness like this, is going to really rock the state as we are seeing it now. And that just shows why capitalism is inherently just not fit for this, for our times, right? And for any time, really. I'm just talking about currently. But I when you're talking about that, I'm just saying that.
I'm putting the media on the hook. I'm not saying Wall Street. I'm not saying airplane, you know, like airlines.
Yeah.
I'm saying the media, because they make money from viewership. And you know, they care about their profit margin. You know, and if it aligns with someone else's, good. But so that's why I mean that, you know, the media itself is just journalism is dead in this country. I mean, so it's more of sensational news, you know, a la CNN, you know, and so, you know, where actual information is hard to come by. So it's created panic that is overwhelming, you know, like health workers and people like that. You know, there is no mask anymore for anybody, you know, when, you know, because it has pushed people to, you know, panic and go to the stores. And people has pushed people to, you know, just stay indoors and, you know, and panic indoors alone.
Yeah. I mean, I think the question you're asking, Eduardo, is this worrisome for the capitalists versus is this an opportunity for the capitalists? And I put it much more an opportunity that they're taking advantage of. And we can, I mean, that this is just one frame of the debate we can have. The reason I would say is the mainstream media and the capitalist class are synonymous. We talked about 2016 when Trump won the election. One of the most worrisome things for them was the fact that their mainstream media was exposed as incapable of shaping and controlling people's ideas and actions. I think the coronavirus and the fear of coronavirus and the way they're able to whip up that fear of coronavirus, which is by and large still the thing that's happening, that's causing everyone to look into it and things like that, shows the way that both the mainstream media and the capitalist class's ability to reconstruct their social control and their ideological hold on people to the extent that they were worried it was getting free, that is actually becoming strengthened right now. The willingness of people right now to accept restrictions by the state on the basis of their fear of coronavirus. Now look, in Italy, they got something going on, right? But they're using Italy in many ways as a map for all the different border securities that we're having. U.S. saying you can't come to Europe, oh, unless you're from Britain, you know? What's that about? You know, there was something I was saying to Brian when I feel like the global response to this. So prior to the coronavirus, we were talking about the new nationalism and the countries breaking up and really becoming more competitive and more aggressive with one another. Mm-hmm. The question we should ask ourselves is the response to this global pandemic. Has it been a global international response to it, or are we actually seeing more of the nations holding themselves up, protecting their own, and then looking, particularly the United States, when it pushes Saudi Arabia to pump a bunch of oil out in the context of Russia, or it's basically trying to say, no, you know, put all sorts of restrictions on Chinese or even European goods, and while simultaneously trying to pump up its own Wall Street with whatever.
They're going to infuse $1.5 trillion to save a lot of these businesses. And
this is just the United States. I think what we're seeing is in response to a global pandemic, we're seeing the nations act even more aggressively in their own interests as they secure their borders and get what they need for themselves. And that, to me, means the working class is in danger. If we go for that kind of response and go for and similarly, like the kinds of opportunities I see that are being presented to the ruling class around, say, like education, where increasingly as colleges are shut down, they're doing these big experiments on online education. It's a direction they wanted to go in a direction. That look, coronavirus was not introduced to make a possibility for colleges to do that, but the capitalist class always finds an opportunistic way to push their agenda and push their interests for those kinds of things. And that's largely what I see happening. And that's why I caution, because a nurse at my school, who we were talking to when we were trying to organize a response to the lack of a response from our district around the coronavirus and things like that, she's like, people are just being whipped up in some fear. There's some real ignorance about who's threatened by this. I mean, I read a New York Times thing, of the 116 cases, they were looking at 150 cases. Of the 116 cases that they had, 114 of those cases of people who died, because they were looking at deaths, 114 were severely immune compromised people, generally because of being older. For whatever reason, coronavirus does not seem to, like flu affects older people and younger people. For whatever reason that is not understood, coronavirus seems really to just affect older people and not affect as much the vulnerable young. We don't know why, but that seems to be one of the things. But that's a piece of information to know. The fact that the vast majority of people experience symptoms, maybe even very mild symptoms, and then we never even know they have some asymptomatic, they carry it because they had it, and nothing happened. I mean, that's actually the most common story about coronavirus. Now, there is a thing of it spreads, and it's been spreading, it can spread rapidly, and that separates it from things like SARS and MERS prior. Those things spread, but did not seem to spread as well as this current version of coronavirus. So I feel like on balance, people are being pushed into being afraid versus being informed. And I think there's an agenda at play in order to do that.
Yeah, I want to be clear that I think that this is rocking a lot of industries. And there are going to be some within this time period that will take advantage. I do know that there is, I was reading as well, that there is a push for online courses, and there is a push for other ways to take advantage of this crisis, no? But I do see also that there is the stocks plummeted. And
bear market now.
Yeah, so there is also to account that this economy is just fragile, and we need to just reconsider what kind of system we want to live in as a society. And I do think that the mainstream media here in the USA, at least the way that it's portraying COVID-19, does sensationalize. I don't not agree with that. The thing is that I'm feeling like we have to be informed. We have to stay updated. And I do think that there has to be a different way of delivering the message, but that we have to stay informed. I mean, there is no way around that. I mean, how else are you supposed to keep track of what's going on locally and how to see if your family is going to be affected by it? So I think that you have to have some form of media to be able to know and to be transmitted information. I think the three of us may agree that the way that it's being delivered is the issue. And so I think so that's just to clarify those points. If there is a... I was going to say something else about the way other countries are handling it. I think the one aspect where I find troubling is that, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't mean to say that you both are saying that it's not important. I'm simply concerned as well that we may be undermining some of the importance of being, not to say, and like there's many conservatives and right wingers here in this country, in the USA, and even Trump himself, have not acted steadfastly and reacted quick enough to deal with the outbreak. As now we can see the way that China is dealing with their outbreak, their numbers have dwindled. And so for all of this attack...
Leveled off.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right. Excuse me.
Yeah.
And so for all of this attack on them, they have actually done quite well in how they've handled this crisis. And we don't give them credit for it, right? Because, of course, the narrative here is to simply attack them.
Right. They built hospitals
yes.
from whole cloth, you know, like did barn raisings of hospitals. And
right.
they're able to actually transport goods to Italy that the European Union is not able to transport.
And here, until recently, with Ted Cruz now, and I mean, the way that Fox News was just portraying this was just trying to undermine every, just even saying that this is to hurt Trump, and this was also, it's just a cough, it's like the flu. Mm-hmm. So I also have an issue with just, you know, we talked about, I think there's a balance, right? And so it's just over-sensationalizing it, and then there's this other side where it's just completely undermining the how critical this is at this time. So I just have some queries about that.
But that's yep. where I wanted to comment on, is that I think that if there is an undermining, is that they've done it themselves, you know, the media. Like, because I see a lot of, again, people that have very good critical thinking, you know, not trusting the news. You know, they're like, yeah, they're like exaggerating. Whether it's true or not, it shows that there is no trust in the media, you know, because they've lied before. Even, you know, the response, there were two articles, one regarding China in the New York Times. And, you know, it talks about civil liberties, restricting, you know, freedoms, this and that. You know, basically insinuating a fascist, you know, state, right, and whatever. But and then they talk about Italy and as heroic capitalism saving their markets. So these are the narratives that are being pushed, you know, and so I think we are right to be suspicious of them. They are not in the business of giving us information. They're partial truths, maybe, but we still have to do our own thinking, you know, and. You know, there is more information, honestly, from some people that I follow on Instagram who are more critical than these so-called journalists. You know, for example, Ted Cruz, you know, like trying to cut benefits, right, to people, and he's on sick leave, you know, making $175,000 a year. They break it down until, like, he makes like $700 a day on sick leave. And when, you know, most of the workers, we don't have sick leave. So it's about that. It's not just about the coronavirus. It's about how precarious of a situation we are as working people. In this country, mm-hmm. So that's the story that it should be that we should be discussing in public, you know, not just like oh there's one more death, you know, like at this drip, you know, we are all focused on this one drip. That's how I feel, you know, we are hypnotized in that way, and it's hurting us more than helping us, when we should be challenging our government, you know, and taking power from them, finding ways, you know, outside these two parties ultimately, because there is nothing we can do. We're hoping that we are saved by these, you know, these people. We're hoping that their response is correct. And all we can do is complain about it. But there is other, you know, there is nothing we can do about their response. Whether it's good or bad, we are at their own, you know, in their hands.
Yeah. I think particularly in, I'll say a few things about, because I think it's good that you brought up the election. In the context of this current election, where it looks like you were right, 2002 prediction, Biden.
Biden.
I was wrong, you were wrong. Mm-hmm. He was right, this dude, man.
Bernie's still alive.
No, he's done, he's cooked. This goose is cooked.
Oh, it's the coronavirus.
Yes. But look, the Biden and the establishment of the Democratic Party has nothing as an alternative to offer. They are literally Trump in another form.
Yeah.
So what are they trying to do in this election? They're trying to say Trump has fumbled this response. He's messing up our economy. They're actually hoping the recession actually sinks him to some extent, because this is their only hope to take power. So I actually do agree that this is being politicized by two parties that have no interest in protecting workers' lives here, and they are warriors abroad, right? They're both war-making parties. So this, there's nothing to parse out between Biden, the Democratic Party, and Trump. Trump is appealing to the people who are skeptical of some of this stuff, and I think people do need to be skeptical of anything they read. China, yes, has martial response, but I also believe China's government response is in part related to class struggle in their own country, the sort of opposition they faced in Hong Kong. How do you get things, how do you reestablish social control in the context of that? But if that's true for China, I definitely think it's true for the United States. And I've also even heard Italy's market was in trouble prior to this coronavirus, and this has been true for a while, that there's been notion that there's going to be a correction and a recession coming. It's very interesting that they can, well, obviously there's been things done to make things vulnerable in the markets, but do I think that all this is just because of a coronavirus? No, you know, and so...
You don't, all of what?
The market falling, it's a bear market as a relationship to coronavirus. I think there are fundamentals in the market that were weak, that the coronavirus response has amplified. But it has also now allowed people, let's start some layoffs. Let's recover. I mean, that's how you recover profits, is you lay off, you allow, make the workers who are there, you know, work harder. And it does seem to me corporations are once again going to take it out on workers. And again, if there was going to be a government response to saying we're going to restrict that, but you would have to do it in the context of what that guy Yang talked about. Money's got to be put in everyone's pocket. If you're laid off, you're going to get money. Immediate unemployment benefits if you're laid off as a result of the coronavirus or what have you. That's not even what's up. The only thing that's up for discussion here is a payroll tax. And payroll tax does two things to me. One, it threatens the Social Security system and allows any future politician to come through and say, well, we don't have money for Social Security, because that's partly how it's funded. And secondly, the only people it helps are people with jobs. You don't get any money if you don't have a job. Like, payroll tax doesn't help you if you're not getting income. So
And I mean, in every business, you know, the fancy term, I think it's economic correction. You know, in every downturn, you know, they ask more from the workers, you know, that get to keep their job, you know, and that's what's going to happen. And so they're going to squeeze even more profit, you know, like by the end of it, you know, and, you know, the top dogs, they're going to be bailed out. They're not going to be let, you know, we've seen it in the past.
And say they had no choice because of the public health concerns and the destruction wrought to the economy by the coronavirus.
Yeah.
Not because of the fundamentals of the economy, corrections that are going to be had in the economy no matter what happened. So those are some of the things that I think people need to pay attention to. They do have to read things very suspiciously, because you're given truths, but framed to force you into political dead ends, to accepting we have to strengthen our borders, we have to allow for a stronger government that is able to tell us what we can and can't do. And accept the restrictions that a government might put on us by virtue of fear around this thing, and
trusting them with educating us and, you know, and determining the truth. I'm just always concerned about that, and we know that they lie, you know. So, yeah,
I agree, and as well as that there will be a massive bailout for the largest industries being affected and not the working class.
Right.
The one point I feel as if we need to be careful, because there are a lot of conspiracy theories out there on the internet, and I was talking to some family members. It's just that it's like the vaccine issue as well, that with giving your children vaccines to go to school, I feel as if we might be undermining some of the factual science evidence that exists. And we have to sort of, I'm not myself interested in propping up any conspiratorial theories. I think that that's the only thing for my concern, especially when we need to not necessarily trust our government, but try to look to our scientists that as a whole could potentially give us the information that we need, that we need in times of crisis. This is become a pandemic, and it's a lot of it due as well to the lack of reaction to, of a lot of countries that did not take this seriously, like Iran, you know, and like
When it comes to Iran, you know, we also had to bring up the sanctions there, you know, and about responding to a crisis. And just like Venezuela, they've crippled their ability to access international markets.
I agree with the US. That.
So
and the government didn't respond.
So if there is a crisis, you know, we have to look at that piece, you know, and not just blame the Iranian government. Who, again, you know, I don't
the
know.
The Iranian government didn't.
I don't know. Like,
the Iranian government clearly said it was not an issue.
Okay.
They said that.
I'm not defending the government. What I'm defending is that we've said before, the Chinese people have a problem with their own government, the Iranian government have a problem with their own government. But we cannot say that.
But what
I'm saying
is the reaction that they, the delay in the reaction that they took is my point. And that's what I'm saying is, like, if we are not taking things seriously from the scientific community, mm-hmm. just like as well as what is happening with the destruction of our environment, then we are then delaying for an appropriate response to it, mm-hmm. such as the Iranian government. I'm not saying that the sanctions did not affect. I'm talking about they clearly stated that the coronavirus was not an issue in their country. This was clearly laid out by their minister. So that is what I'm saying, that I'm not interested in propping up any sort of like conspiratorial theories.
Well, I would say that the reason I wouldn't just say any scientist that we have to trust the scientific community is because the ruling class plucks out the scientists they want to give you your information.
I understand.
They give them the megaphone. Because there are people in the medical field that I've seen and seen tweets from, or not tweets, but like messages from.
I agree with that. And I know you were going there,
okay,
Andy.
Okay.
But simply that's not the entire scientific community, right? That we have to look at as a whole, not just one source.
No, but generally the message we get from the scientific community is amplified through the lens of the mainstream media and through what the capitalist class wants us to see. And those people, I am among those people who would have said, if you will, like the Trump or like the Iranian, who was like, wait a second, this thing seems a little overblown. That is the thing I was saying. Like, and I still believe that. I believe that there's something. Do I believe it the same way Trump's talking about it or what the Iranian minister's talking about it? No, I don't necessarily think so. But I think there's another story here about what's happening. So that's one thing. I guess I'll leave it at that.
I would say also that, you know, the scientific community is not the community making these political decisions to close borders or do this and that or close businesses in that. You know, it ultimately goes back to the people in power. And, you know,
I agree with that.
So again, like, you know, so we're not really asking, I feel like we're being asked to trust the scientific community. We're being asked to really trust the people in power.
Yeah. I'm not I'm not saying that. I mean, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that I have seen, for example, just speaking to people outside of this country and even within this country, people sort of delving into conspiracies about certain things that just not taking seriously.
One was that it started from a Wuhan lab, right? That's a conspiracy. Mm-hmm. That was one. I don't know. I'm not sure that matters. The other one I've actually heard, I was talking to a colleague, and she herself had doubts about the way this is being reported, and she was like, I wonder if this is being released to just literally kill older people. Like, as something that was just a sort of a, something that was...
Malthusian?
Malthusian sort of eliminate the elderly so we don't have to take care of them kind of thing. I don't believe that, but I think what I agree with from that sentiment is the sense of, I don't believe the story I'm being told. The official story. I understand that, like, and for myself, I don't think I really know. I firmly believe there's a backstory that's behind the story that I'm being given about, oh, here comes a disease that's going through and we got to protect ourselves and we got to, like, my school has been shut down for 3 weeks, you know? Mm. 1 week because of spring break, but 2 weeks, the next 2 weeks prior to that. And all around this, you know, safety stuff and things like that. And it it still, to me, does not feel commensurate with the level of threat that I understand the deadliness of this thing that is contagious and is going through. It doesn't. There's something that doesn't add up to me, and so I am more in. Again, this gets back to our conspiracy. I am more in line with those people who are hatching conspiracies in their brain to try to make sense of what they're being told, because they're not just believing the front page of this thing. And that, I think, is a necessary approach. It is necessary to look at our media that way, and to look at the government the way, in terms of what it's doing, to understand its policies, and saying, what are you really getting at when you try to do this? You're telling me you're trying to help me, but I'm not. I think there's something else going on, and I think that's a wise approach on the part of any public, you know, any person who's trying to make sense of the government.
And it could be taken. I'm not against it necessarily. Simply, I think, before someone starts blabbing their mouth about, maybe you can state a few reasons why you think that. Like, maybe start bringing up some of your evidence or something you've read, or tell me where alternatively you've been looking into, or what direction have you been putting, you know, in the which direction of the wind have you been paying attention to. Like, if you have something to say, say it with something that you can sort of, I think most people start talking without thinking, and they're just blabbing themselves about. And I would rather have something, if at least I'm going to be presented with something, I would rather someone say to me something where they have looked into, this is this YouTuber that I'm looking into that has read this stuff, or there's this alternative news media that I'm looking at, or, you know, I think everyone can say anything. I mean, you know, it's going to happen. It's just, I'm not saying shut out. I'm saying myself, I don't believe that if people are going to say something, that they should try to get some substantial information to share with us, right? We've talked about this before, like the 9/11 thing. All right, there is a substantial amount of evidence of information, information.
Yeah,
that has been shared.
That cuts another story.
That's wonderful that it has been shared. And I think that when people start talking because they just want to talk, it dilutes the conversations around us, for me, because then you have a hard time navigating through the entire discourse around a certain topic.
To me, when you say substantial information, I think people have substantial information to be critical of their government, and I agree, you know, people should be asking questions. That's the part that I would say, you know, we should be asking questions. What is the alternative? You know, what is behind this? What's the angle behind this story? You know, and dig in, do more, you know, and test your own ideas. You know, that's what we talk about. That's what we have conversations. You know, that's why, you know, I think we're doing this. And I think that in what we're doing, there is a sort of trust in our collective knowledge, you know, because I do think there is some people in the fringes that are like, you know, they're not going to be moved. But I think they're not, they're a few. Most people have a sense of things.
I don't think there are a few. There are a lot on the internet.
Well, but they're not.
They live by themselves, but, isolated, but it's in the fringes. And,
but I'm afraid of that way of thinking because, for example, that would dismiss my mother. That today, for example, and I keep bringing my mother, she said, "We need to think about how to prepare." Not because this is real, you know, or whatever. She's like, she still has questions. She's afraid. Mm-hmm. You know, because she's an older woman and it affects older people.
Yeah.
But she understands how the system works, and she doesn't drop capitalism or this and that. But she understands that at some point, when we run out of shit, someone's going to hoard things to sell us shit at a higher, you know, to make a
dollar. That's what's happening with sanitizer, the hand sanitizer.
So they're hoarding things. And my mom, again, but from that way of thinking, you know, it kind of borders on like elitism and dismissing the people that experience this shit, that have seen this shit. Like, my mother didn't get an economics degree, but she knows that people will hoard things to make a dollar.
Yeah. I'm not dismissing that, though. I mean, what did?
But that, that, but that would be, someone could dismiss that as a conspiracy theory.
Wait, that is a conspiracy? I don't think that's a conspiracy.
But then who decides what the conspiracy
theory? Well, I'm talking about people who are talking about, like, if you're going to state, for example, that this is came out of a Wuhan lab, or someone is stating that this was released to get rid of older people, this statement has is not compared to what your mother is saying. Something like that, I would want to question this, your colleague, whoever said this, and say, do you, I mean, have you read something? Do you want to show me in what direction are you looking at that I may be, not be privy to, so that I'm able to maybe consider it myself?
So there, there are your questions.
Let me, but
you see,
but,
so I would rather have someone present with me. Just, there's a lot of chatter. Everyone's talking, right? There's just a lot of chatter. And I think it really can drown out some very, maybe some very critical information that's out there.
Well, let me just say
and
this.
And if we try to just sort of, everyone, please organize, like, organize your thoughts a bit before just stating whatever's on your mind, you know, then maybe we can sort of get, sift, like, you know, the lo que se utiliza para cocinar, like, sift through it, right?
But I think, I think I see a kind of the opposite of you. Because I think what I heard you say is that the people who aren't thinking are the ones on the edges, the one who are looking through these kooky websites or being alone and things like that. I actually think those people are thinking. I think the people who aren't thinking are the ones who are literally, the ruling ideas are the
moon is made of cheese ending.
No, the ruling ideas of society are the ideas of the ruling class. And people who take what those ideas that the ruling class are disseminating to us at face value, those are the people who are not thinking. The ones who actually take the story, and the people who are know that's a lie and are trying to find their way around it, even if it takes them into the flat Earth or the moon made out of cheese, they've already gone farther than most of the than the people that you're worried about. Believe it or not, the people you're worried about are the ones who are taking the story that's already being it's literally being given to us. Here's the story. You don't have to think at all. We've done your thinking for you. Here's what's really taking place. Believe us. That's how. Ideology is shaped by the ruling class into the working class. And so those people who are trying to find a way around that, those are our people. Those are the people we're going to make a revolution with, because if you're just taking this, then you're done. I mean, those people can crack as well because of a crisis that comes and no longer makes sense out of the shit that they were being told. But I actually see it the opposite of you. I think the people who we have to worry about who aren't thinking are one who have the whole story already figured out, because it's already been given to them. That story and all the facts and all the scientists and all the government, it's already there for them to prove everything. And they can give you, I know this, 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 and this. I read from the New York Times. I saw it on NBC News. Da-da-da-da-da. So many different sources. This guy, that person, that woman told me. And there you go. That person, would you say that person's doing the thinking? I would say no. I'd say that person is literally just absorbing ruling class ideas and spitting them back out. Much less than the flat earther who's like trying to figure out, I know this shit's a lie, I'm trying to figure out the truth.
Yeah, well, I think where I come from this is, I told you both, right? I came from where I want to give our audience, if they haven't seen our past episodes, is
wait,
that
you do
I
keep coming back to this.
Well, because I grew up as a Jehovah's Witness. I grew up being told lies.
Yeah.
I grew up in a cult. And I think that the difference between maybe the three of us, if I should say, is that I was fed a lot of things. And I do believe in questioning. I myself questioned my own system, my own bubble of belief system that I was raised in, no? But where I feel as if there's pseudoscience, and I feel as if I myself am interested in being part of a community to tackle pseudoscience. There are people who I talked about the coronavirus with, my family members, my cousins. A few of them were saying all kinds of conspiratorial theories that I was worried about. But then I reminded how they believe in La Llorona. And I just...
In what?
She's a mythical...
It's some mythical legend that exists in Latin America, really. Okay. Well, really in the Mexico, Caribbean. Yeah. And so here they are talking to me, and I'm thinking, why would I argue with these people who believe in this fantasy? You know, I have no interest anymore to discuss and to start debating with them. And to me, it seems like... what they're being brainwashed, you know, and I just dismiss people's, if I kind of figure out that you believe blindly into some scriptures, or you believe some myths, or you believe, you know, that what you said about hoarding, I wouldn't categorize that. Yeah. I would say that that's from a personal experience, having gone through a certain thing in your life. That doesn't seem to me conspiratorial. That seems to me what your mother is talking about is living through an experience, just like some people who were as well living through World War II or the economic recession here in the 1920s when people hoard food. That doesn't seem conspiratorial to me. Mm-hmm. That is more of survival, having lived through something. That's not in the way I'm classifying this. I'm talking about people who truly are propping up more things that are drowning up. For me, it feels like we have to be... It's diluting information, and it doesn't help when we are also trying to tackle the mainstream media, who also dilute, I would say, the information by fear mongering as well. I don't think that they're innocent. I'm just saying that I'm not asking for anyone to be censored either. I hope that is clear as well, because I'm just saying that it's very scary. For me, having grown up as a Jehovah's Witness and having been misconstrued information given to me, that people are also doing that on a different level, and that to me is why I am so opposed to just people talking without really listening to what they are themselves saying. So,
but I think we're going to circle. But I think. We are being told massive lies, and to deconstruct that, you have to think outside the box.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we're arguing. That, you know, I personally have had easier conversations with people like that have, you know, flat earthers. I've talked to people that I personally know. And I would say, and again, me just hating on liberals, but, you know, liberals have scream at my face because I'm like,
I feel like you two keep talking about that.
But they seem to know the truth.
Because it's from liberals and conservatives. Okay. You see, I'm not talking about liberals. I'm talking about anyone, whether you're liberal, left or right, anyone. They are both on left and right that are propping up a bunch of conspiracies and diluting the information with a bunch of crap that does not exist, that only exists in their head. I'm not talking about conservatives or liberals here. This is something that affects both.
But I'm talking
both,
about my experience.
Yeah.
I'm talking about that.
And as a society, we need to look into
this. I agree, exactly. So, again, I am that, to a lot of these people that I've talked to that have screamed at me, that have, you know, pushed for me to get behind Bernie, you know, that's the only way. Please let me finish. I've had an easier conversation with people that think outside the box than them because they believe it's the truth and I'm outside the box. I am outside the box and my truths are too far-fetched for them. And so they want to believe these lies, you know, that again, we can disagree on it, but I think their lies, and I give my reasoning because I do my research, and they don't want to think outside the box, so they want to go to the ballot box and fall off the cliff again every fucking time.
You're talking about politics, Kenny.
No, but which is that? But these aren't disconnected from politics.
But I'm not talking about ideologies. You see, this what Kenny is just describing versus Bernie versus liberal. That's all ideology. I'm talking about specifically the science that we are talking about, like coronavirus, like also flat earth. I'm talking about like the vaccines that scare.
All of
these things. I'm not talking about ideologies, because there are going to be this back and forth.
Questions about whether vaccines work at all. There are.
Yeah.
There are people who are in the science community, medical field, who actually can support those things and say, no, we don't think those vaccines really work. They might even do some more harm than they do good. And we think it's a net zero, actually. And there's plenty of people who've never taken the vaccines, who've never had any problem with the flu or anything like that. And then I know a person who feels like
In that case, I would say, then show something, some substantial thing that you can.
Saying that they they have their evidence, you know, and it's like, can I look at it and cite it right now? No, you know, but I'm just saying that there's people out there who have done looking into these things and have reason to believe questions about those things.
You don't think there's a problem with pseudoscience?
Well, no. Well, yes, in the hands of the capitalist class, because they're the ones who use pseudoscience all the time to force our hand and shape our minds around policies. The biggest danger of pseudoscience is the one that's fed to me through the mainstream media. Mm-hmm. So the danger of pseudoscience is not in the hands of the person hidden in a shack somewhere. That person has no threat to me whatsoever, and more likely than not, I can have a conversation with that person. The person who believes the pseudoscience, and that's why we're talking about liberals here, and yes, some Republicans who won't leave it there, who won't leave their minds on anything, is they are so indoctrinated with the pseudoscience of mainstream media that they can't imagine another way. So in the case of the liberals, I'm less familiar with the case of the Republicans. In the case of liberals, if you said, I'm not going to vote for Joe Biden here, they're just going to lose their minds and they're going to think you're the worst.
Yeah, that's a case of ideology, though.
No, right. but those are connected to, they have facts behind that. They will tell you all sorts of things. And they will tell you other things about, they'll tell you science about the global warming.
And that's a problem. Why is that a problem? Because they're using science to back some ideology.
But that's what the ruling class is doing. They're going to try to sell Joe Biden to us with the Green New, not even the Green New Deal, but the global warming. Mm-hmm. They're going to do that. And the Democrats have been building this case for the last 4 years. So that's pseudoscience, I would claim. But really, it's science with the aim of basically indoctrinating and defeating the working class. And that science is not coming from the kooks on the margins. That science is coming right through our regular windows of TV, internet. Those are mainstream channels in which we're getting that pseudoscience. Mm-hmm. Even though that's the scientific community.
I agree.
I'm just going to quote someone. Look at Dr. Oz, for example. Dr. Oz, Mr. Authority, he was caught fucking lying to people. About this product that he was pushing on TV, so we were supposed to trust him because he's a doctor.
Yeah, no, I'm not. I'm not claiming that, though. I'm saying a community of people. I'm not saying one person out of thousands. I'm not saying that, right? Yeah. I'm talking about a community of scientists at the consensus, that where there's an agreement on something, right? Like you and I have a huge disagreement about global warming. Right.
I mean, we disagree, but I don't know if huge, but yes.
Well, or maybe it isn't huge.
Yeah. But I'm just in that place where
there are carbon emissions because...
There are carbon emissions, I agree with that.
Right? Well, all right. Well, or that climate change, the
is
greatest
a direct
factor...
result of human-made cause, right?
Yeah. Right.
That's where I don't know about that.
Right, because there's a consensus, no?
Yeah.
Dr. Oz is one of many items. Like, I'm sure we can question why. I'm talking about like a group of scientists, no? International group of scientists that look into this thing. And I'm not very interested in undermining a scientific community.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that's all I'm saying. And if we are returning back to this conversation, I think it's good. I think our audience really wants to hear this. Maybe they have not heard other episodes about this, but I think that undermining a scientific community, a large scientific international community, is dangerous sometimes when it comes to global outbreaks, when it comes to figuring out what we need to do as a society for saving ourselves, the planet. You know, that's where I'm concerned.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think there's I feel no sense of safety from knowing that there's any consensus of scientists around anything, anywhere from the development of the nuclear bomb to the internet, anything. The thing is that the scientists don't have control over any of the things that they do.
Yeah.
So
I'm sure
whatever consensus they have, they are being organized by the ruling class to push an agenda from the top.
It gets filtered, and if you're too out there, if you're too alarmist, then you get filtered out. You know, just like people that, you know, were teaching Marxism and communism in universities, they get filtered out. You know, if you challenge the state.
Well, they were on the fringe, people who were for the advancement of releasing information of climate change were on the fringes for a long time, right? Yeah. They have just become mainstream. But they were on the fringes. So I don't know why we would be questioning them if they were on the fringes themselves.
Even I question as to... The story, if we're focusing just on that, the story they're telling us as to how bad this shit is. Because there are people who are saying this shit is way worse than we think. And we are seeing evidence of that every day. Because that's what we see newspapers updating. Oh, this is worse than we thought. This is worse than we thought. Because it is worse than we thought.
It is.
You know, but the people that are, those alarmists, they get filtered out. So the people that are more, not as scandalous, they get, because you cannot deny this shit at this point. But that's my point, that there is a consensus being created. You know, and it's done through whatever, a bunch of channels, but they are being managed ultimately. So we do have to question, you know, we have to obviously do inquire, look at different opinions. I'm not saying just don't, you know, I agree with you. Don't look at just the one opinion, but don't assume that because this is especially coming from the government, don't assume that that's the absolute truth.
I'm not saying that. But I hope people don't also, I just want to be clear for our audience. I'm not for that. I'm not saying we should be trusting our government.
No.
And I want to be clear that I don't get mischaracterized for that at all.
I mean, come on, Kenny.
I mean, I trust everything Trump says.
I have to be clear because sometimes my communication could be distorted and I don't want it to be.
So we've kind of gone through this information.
As we normally do. Yes. We should stay focused.
No, well, not, I would just say, is there anything we want to now revisit in the last part around the coronavirus thing and any points that we felt like were important?
Yes, I think that...
I was hoping your answer was no, we could sum up, but of course he's got something else to say. Clearly when I asked that question, it was a rhetorical question that I meant to say, no, we're done, we're wrapping up the episode.
And by the way, we're breaking recommendations, we're not... 3 feet away from each other?
Yeah, exactly.
You see, so much
for this is not a gathering of 200 or over. He was, this is a gathering.
This dude came into the house coughing.
I did that on purpose.
He said he's got... Because
again, you only matter if you're in a group of 200 or above. Or 50, according to the city.
And you guys are safe. I'm above 50. You have the last point to make, or you want to...
No, anyone can make the last point. You said if we had anything else...
Well, I guarantee you, if you make a point, I'm making a last point right on it.
You can. That's all right.
He's got his hammer out.
And you have the sickle.
I'm sensitive to... When we talk about science, I'm not... Ideologies, we can always have a debate. I think I'm just... I'm always sensitive when it's around, as we are discussing now, COVID-19, right? We're talking about the sickness here.
Yeah.
I'm sensitive about climate change. I'm sensitive about just the vaccines on our children. I'm sensitive. I'm just very sensitive around these issues. For one, because I just want to, again, I'm being redundant here, but I grew up as a Jehovah's Witness, given all kinds of stupid beliefs and made to believe a certain way. And science was one way for me to get out of a certain belief system that was an echo chamber in just with my community. And for me, that's important. I don't want to be clear. I don't advocate for censorship. I'm not saying people should trust their government. I'm not as well stating that as the... Yeah, those are it. Yeah, I'm a proponent of people questioning, always questioning. Except when you question, I think most people sort of speak too soon. They're not sure what they're saying. Maybe they're just externally processing. But it's like the whole racism thing. People state like certain things. People will say things. I'm like, well, hold on. Well, like sometimes the Latino community will say like blacks take up a bunch of welfare, you know, and whoa, hold on here, you know. This is what I hear from the Latino community. It's like, where are you getting this information from? Because we're looking at nationwide, blacks are on the least ones taking a lot of things. But it's so I think what I'm afraid of is more fomentando, perpetuating more of certain unexamined thoughts that should be critically examined. So it's a balance, no?
Yeah. I hear what you're saying about Jehovah's Witness, but I was raised in a cult too, in a sense.
Oh no, this is different, Andy. Every Jehovah's Witness on YouTube will know that it is a complete different.
It's a different cult than. But I was raised in a cult that raised me to look at a flag every day, right? When I was growing up, to stand up, to put my hand in my heart, to talk about freedom, to think that there's a balance, checks and balances, to think that this thing had some problems. But it was a symbol of freedom. It was a symbol of opportunity. Uh-huh. It was a symbol of liberty. It was a symbol of revolution, of change. This is what I grew up on, this cult. maybe it's a nicer cult than the one you were in, but that was the cult I was in. And it was a lie. It was a deep lie. And it was made to hurt me. It was a lie sent not to help me in any way, to make me happier within my family, but it was a lie meant to hurt me and the people in my class. Mm-hmm. And so many of us have had to break from some kind of indoctrination. I understand how you might think yours runs deeper, and oh, maybe it is, but a lot of us have gone through that, and that's the reason why I don't quickly say that a person who's telling me something I agree with must not have thought about it. If somebody's telling me something different that I'm not hearing from the mainstream media, I'm going to listen. I'm going to be like, what are they saying and why are they saying it? And the one difference I might have with you is I feel like you jump to believe that they haven't thought this through. And I'm not so quick to think that, because if somebody tells me to vote for Joe Biden, they have not thought that through.
I believe that.
You understand? I trust that part, yes.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you.
But if somebody tells me that the moon is made of cheese, I want to hear why they believe that. In a sense, okay, that's using these examples. That's what I'm saying.
I have nothing else to add. Can you?
Yeah, exactly. And I'm even, again, conspiracy theory over here. Even within the scientific community, there are a lot of debates. You know, like, it's not an exact science always. You know, there's still debates on that thing. So, again,
but the debates are at a different level. Let the questions, not debating whether La Llorona exists.
Let the questions flow. Well, she might. We don't fucking know. My mom swears that she does. A lot of my family does. I haven't experienced it, so I don't know. I'm an agnostic for the most part.
Look, dude.
Get off the fence, Kenny.
Dude, so, you know, scientists are telling us that 70% of the universe is made of something that we can't even measure, dark energy. All right, so I get it. They don't believe in
That's
God.
That's different from saying that some woman exists in your house while another lady from across Mexico is saying, or in Guatemala says, that the very same Llorona is right there as well.
I don't know.
There's multiple Lloronas all of a sudden. You
tell me more, because I think there might be more evidence of that than dark matter.
The chupacabras, you know what we did, chupacabras?
No.
Whatever, but I mean, I'm just saying, if I'm going to clarify my point, is ask questions and don't be condescending to people. You know, because consider people, you know, again, yeah, assume they have thought through it. If you realize that they're really bunkers, walk away as soon as you can. I mean, that's like, what? But it hurts more to believe the official story. That's my point.
Yeah. All right, let's.
And now that we've fully covered coronavirus.
Maybe we can cut some of this.
No, I love this shit.
Why do you love every?
If you don't want to listen to it, that's your problem. That's where you know. So
maybe I'll give people minutes where they can cut off.
Kenny is going to. I mean, Eduardo's going to edit this thing, and then he's going to tell me to cut this and cut that and cut that, and I'm going
to. I think people want to.
But I'm glad we're having this conversation. Honestly,
me too. Yeah.
I'm glad. You know, and I think everyone should know that we're still friends afterwards.
Oh yeah, that's part of what's left.
I'm sure I'm giving that guy a ride.
Well, that's what we're trying to do, what's left. Yeah. We're trying to prove to people that you can still debate issues and not have some resentment like I do see.
If you told me to vote for Joe Biden, though, we'd have problems.
We'd walk away.
We would have problems.
Vote for Joe Biden.
At least I'm not
voting for Joe Biden, ever. All right, let's wrap this up. Thank you for listening or viewing. Please check us out on any of our 5 platforms, on YouTube, BitChute, Stitcher, Google Play, or iTunes Podcast. Subscribe, rate, review, and best of all, share with your family and friends, and let us know what you think in the comments below. All right, thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.